licensing agreement or some of this kind emerging. That would be one subject. And if I think if any one of you has this kind of thing to report from your practice, you would be right on this panel. And the other subject of this panel is the is Richard Stallman still here? Okay. The operating system, the basic infrastructure, and the impact of patents on that. The impact of patents on, like, the basic fiber of information society, rather than just the more trendy e-commerce subject, or e-commerce and e-business and business method subject, which is reserved for the last panel at 5 to 6. And because often, so if... Well, we could also, on both of these panels, have a certain focus on the emerging phenomena of patent practice. So, if you are in a sector that is close to e-business, for example, you're doing a lot of for websites that are e-commerce based websites. That this could even include databases. And this kind of thing. I'm not sure whether I'm right here. If you're closer to the operating system level, then you're better on this panel. If you're more on the application level, then you're on the next. And on both, we focus on the effects of patents on these sectors and would like to have some practice reports from things that are actually happening, since we have so many people from small and medium enterprises in this room, or possibly affected software project leaders.
We might as well make a start, gentlemen. Could somebody turn the projector on for me, very briefly? As I said, this is somewhat disorganized. I apologize for that. It should have been starting at 2 o'clock. I apologize for that. In the words of Shel Silverstein, one of my favorite singers, you'll like this. It's dirty.
Civil liberties in the digital age, and has taken quite a lot of initiatives also on our subject. I think he's chairing this session, so we might as well start with him.
Congratulations.
That's bad news. I'm chairing the session. So, but there is some merging of this, the different sessions, so I don't know if I have to follow a particular order. I was supposed to be on the 3:30 panel, and the first speaker was Richard Stallman, so I don't know if we're going to start with the intervention by Richard. Is there someone from the organization that can confirm that? Everybody agree? Okay, so I think that this is really the only person that does not need any introduction, Richard Stallman, and the floor is yours.
I was invited to join this about 3 days ago, and I have no particular presentation prepared, but I'm aware of some threats to operating system development from software patents, because Microsoft is applying for various patents, and as you know, as Microsoft has shown, the operating system is not a narrowly defined small body of software. Operating systems grow with time. Nowadays, for instance, any operating system for a desktop machine has to have a web browser in it. That's standard. That wasn't true 10 years ago when the web was just beginning to exist. But it is now. And what we see is that there are patented standards covering things that every operating system needs to support. GIF is patented, JPEG is patented, it shocked us. MPEG 2 is covered. Oh, it's not? You think it's? Oh, well, that's good. I've heard that that patent was weak, so we've been ignoring it. MPEG 2, which is sort of the main standard video format, is covered by 39 different U.S. patents.
Many.
Really? Okay. Okay, the list I saw from the consortium had 39 in it, but maybe they found more.
2000 has 4,000 patents that may be applicable in five Japanese companies alone.
Wow. But also, Microsoft is trying hard to work itself into a monopoly, an absolute monopoly on operating systems, and patents is one of the techniques it's using. You see, Microsoft figures that it has enough clout to make almost anything a de facto standard. You know, Microsoft can design a new file format, which just happens to use a technique that Microsoft has a patent on. And Microsoft can get most people to use the format just by putting it into their own software. And at that point, anyone else who can't interoperate has a strike against him starting out. And Microsoft has already done this with the Windows Media Player file format. And Microsoft and IBM are working on this with EBXML. And it might be this. EBXML might be what I've heard Microsoft is planning to use for a new version of Word format. I heard that there was some extended kind of XML that Microsoft was patenting and was going to use for Word format. Is it EBXML?
I don't know if it's the same, but there is a patent application at the EBO for that. It's an object-oriented extension of XML.
Yeah. So fully allowed, the next thing Microsoft does is come out with a new version of Word or Windows or whatever, which tends to use that format by default. And they use the network effect to pressure most people to upgrade, as they call it. And the next thing you know, since we are not allowed to support that format, people say to us that our software is inferior, and this would be true for any possible competitor to Microsoft. Now, you might think that someday those patents will expire and then the problem will go away. No, it won't. It will just be replaced by another one, because about 10 years from now, they'll pull the same trick again with something different. And even it doesn't even have to be a real advance in technology. It can be sideways, you know, just a move to something different, using a technique that was not interesting enough for anybody to bother using it or patenting it before. So then they get a patent on that, and then they come out with a new version of Word or Windows or whatever it is, and switch everybody over to that. And they can do this any number of times. So it's an interlocking series of 20-year artificially imposed monopolies, which basically would never end, except with some bizarre catastrophe. So for any country to decide to have software patents is essentially deciding to give Microsoft an ironclad guaranteed monopoly on operating systems that anyone would use. Now, That's mainly what I have to say, but I'd like to comment on one point that I heard in the previous panel. The idea that there's a need to protect some financial interests. We can't go along with that claim. We have to say, prove it. We have to say, I don't believe you. You're just making that up, because if we believe it, then we'll do what you want. It's just a technique to push us around. Because, you see, there's no limit to how much income they can claim they need in order to develop any software. And all those claims are wrong, because we develop loads of software without large expenditures of money. And given that the software industry existed before there were any software patents, to claim it couldn't exist without software patents is obviously false. So we have to call that assumption into question, not accept it. If we accept it, we've surrendered the first battle without a fight.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Richard Stallman. And now the floor is for Richard Clark, MD Elysium Ltd, JPEG editor and webmaster. The floor is yours.
Yeah, okay. Can everybody hear this time? Sorry. It's nice of Richard to give us all a plug. We're the guys responsible for MP3s and DivXs and JPEGs and all that pornography and all those wicked things that happen in the world. We create standards. And I'm proud to be part of a group that has effectively created proactively a number of things that have been of use to the community. We've tried to do this free of patents. Increasingly, this is not possible. I can go on for many hours on this. I'm sure you'd be very relieved to hear that I shan't. But I've become very involved in this because, as some of you may know, JPEG was attacked in July of last year for various reasons, not least of which I'm the webmaster. I have to look after the document registers, and it's been my job to try and collect prior information. So I'm very conscious that this is what David Bernstein refers to as a wealth redistribution lottery. Unfortunately, I'm the guy who got the 5 Nigerian emails telling me I've got the winning number. It's, as I said, many slides. I'll just cut through. First of all, I have to say that not only are these personal views, I'm not a lawyer, blah, 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 but I've also been accused of unlawful conspiracy individually in dealing with this, and this is simply for standing up to this patent. So, first of all, a number of P's for you. Personal. It is personal. That's me personally. Not me, my company. Not me, JPEG. Me personally. I've got a colleague who's in a very similar position in the US. He was attacked in exactly the same way. Writ on the table. Unlawful conspiracy. Various other things accusing. And this means you have to go and talk to lawyers. The lawyers are doing it on a cost-plus basis. Cost me a lot of money. So, it's not a fun business to be in, and it gets dirty. Secondly, most of this gets settled privately. Fortunately, I'm in a very key position here. I know what's going on in some of these private discussions. I'm in a very privileged position. I'm very aware of that. However, 95% of these discussions, more than that, 1% of cases go to law in the States, and of those, probably only 7% of those then actually go to trial. You've got a pretty small chance of getting there. We've already heard something about the odds. It's a complete crapshoot. Do not believe it, people who work on OG and such like. Somebody has only got to have more money than you, and they can take you there. First of all, how do you prove? I've got documents. Some of them haven't got timestamps on. They're manuscript. These are documents going back 15, 20 years. We had typewriters. We didn't have PCs. We've had to digitize 3,000 documents as part of this defense. It has taken up the best part of 6 months of my life. I don't get any pay for this. This is something that has had to be done in order to collect, you know, what I regard against a fairly vicious attack. But also, if you start then investigating these patterns, what you find is a flurry of activity after every standards meeting, after every international conference. The patent in question was actually that there is a very, very similar patent that was applied for by PKI, a Philips subsidiary. It was applied for in Germany. It came out a week before the American one. Guess which one takes precedence in the States? In Japan, they didn't have a chance. The Japanese ruled that the Philips patent applied earlier. So, and Philips are somewhat less active in this area. There is a defence that's applied here that could be applied, at least called equitable estoppel. The funny thing about that is it goes back rather a long way. It was introduced by the Kings of England as a method to defeat the common law courts who were trying to decide things in those days, and if he didn't like the judgments, he went to equitable estoppel and he overruled it. And that in itself, it was his chancellors that did that. It led to a chancery law. So the danger is that the lawyers will just invent another method to deal with the situation, even if we overturn the patent situation as it stands with relation to software. There are lots of problems. You know, what is prior art? That's a very leading question. And basically, what it means for a patent lawyer is an earlier patent. There's very little else that I've found that seems to count as prior art. I worked on videotechs. I've got slides that show tabbed palettes with names across the top. Going back to 70s, I've got Jim Sargent used to sit next to me. He's the guy who invented the hyperlink patent. You might have heard of that, allegedly. One click, sure, we had that as well. There's lots of this stuff goes back. Just one very quick example. But before that, I must deal with protectionism because that's a real issue here. It's not the company that's been settling in the JPEG front took $22 million, according to their SEC filings in the first 3 months, from two Japanese companies. The word Japanese applies. If this goes to court, they know what will happen in the US judicial system. And that, I understand, is probably why they settled. And we're not clean over here. I'm told that if you want to build a 3G network phone, then if you're not a core competence patent holder, guess what the percentage that you pay out on that phone is? 120%. That's your patent levy. Now, that may be hearsay, I don't know, these are all personal opinions, I'm not a lawyer, etc. However, we created our historical archives, I can go through lots of this, but basically, how far back do you go in all of this? The particular code deals with a thing called run-length coding. Here is a thing which says that you play with the statistics. If you've got complicated codes, you have to do a variety and so on. It's a pretty well a generalisation of what this is all about. July 1952. What's changed? When we originally put the JPEG pattern together, we had a choice. We took the choice of going for a baseline patent, which was what we thought was patent-free, sorry, a baseline standard, which we thought was patent-free. The choice at that time was the proven better coding technique called arithmetic coding. There were three patent holders. They wanted to be part of this big game. We're in a very powerful position when we create these standards. We managed to persuade them for three one-off payments of $5,000 that they would license their code. It would cost you $15,000. That's it, one period. And that was 10% better than the thing we chose. We chose it because we thought it was patent-free. Now, here we are, 10, 12, 15 nearly years after the event, we're being pursued. And they took $22 million on the first pass. This is how unfair this whole system has become. It's got worse. It's got much, much worse if you're trying to do proactive standardization. The Japanese national body investigated this for the JPEG 2000. They did what would be regarded as a reasonable search. They found 4,000 plus patents in four companies alone in Japan. They found just under 4,000 in three companies in the US. $10,000 per patent search, it's $4 billion. That's the entire size of the digital camera industry in a year. Full, period. You can't do it. Everybody who's playing in this game is riding in the vague hope that they can go forward and that they won't be first. They won't put their head above the parapet. None of my colleagues and friends in the States will put their head above the parapet. Over there, you have this thing called discovery. The lawyers can descend on you and take all your documents. Even I am subject to discovery in English law from the US. they can apply to have my documents taken over and put over there. Okay, there are restrictions. They don't like to do it because it's but it comes under some treaties, I understand. So, we're in a situation where we've got huge numbers of patents. MPEG have addressed this by creating a license pool, a licensing authority. That works to some extent. It cannot deal with a situation where you have what they call pure licensees, where they have a patent holder who doesn't care whether you build up the industry or not. All they've got their intellectual property. Another company I know of is busy taking another very large operating system company, I understand, for what they claim are core rights on distribution of software by means of an online registration mechanism. They withdrew from the MPEG arena. They took all their balls and toys with them and they went home, having got most of their technology into the standards, just so that Microsoft wouldn't be able to buy a license through the back door through MPEG. And that's another risk that we'd be taking on board. There's a gentleman's agreement here as to how all of this works. I won't go through it, but basically the problems we've got in our system at the moment is a crazy number of patents. The discussions that take place are all under non-disclosure arrangements. You don't know what happens. There's huge cross-licensing. IBM would be, quite freely admit that the only reason they're in there is for cross-licensing. The costs are extremely high. You can't do this as an SME. You can't involve. How anybody could say that an SME could get involved in the US marketplace when any one large company over there could take you out straight away on a patent claim, I do not know. One of the issues we face are patent lawyers' jobs for their company. It's not for the industry. I mean, if Company A managed to get away with not paying a particular license fee on some defence, it's not in their interest to disclose that. There's no right of disclosure. There are huge problems with that, with the whole of the system. And what are the rewards? I've already discussed that, and I'm sure we haven't really got time now. But the sort of tricks of the trade that apply, and these you do need to know about. People claim that patents may apply, and they offer access. They may or they may not apply, but it's a good stopping measure if you don't want the standard to go through. It's quite easy to stop standards as well as to start them. They will insist on non-disclosure arrangements before they can do anything. They will offer deals for immediate settlement under NDA so you can't disclose, and they'll threaten to increase later. They'll threaten their critics with patent libel. I've already mentioned that. They will go for you in the US. In this particular instance, I believe that the law of Texas applies. They'll settle with their friends first under some deal, which is not disclosed, obviously, but that establishes a precedent as far as they're concerned, and certainly as far as this jury, with an average IQ of, is it 80-something in the States? I can't remember. How the hell? I mean, I don't understand some of this coding technology, and I've been working over 20 years. And they don't participate in the standards process. That's the big risk. Where we have a real problem are the guys that don't play the game. It's all a matter of legal opinion at the end of the day. And, as I said, it's got into a very sad situation now that we cannot create proactive standards as a direct result of the patent situation as it applies to software, in my view. Thank you.
Thank you very much to Richard Clark for his enlightening in the practical the practice of the patent situation. And after him, I would like to give the floor to Dame Agoston. I hope this is the right name. Dame Agoston, that is a member of the Linux Support Center in Budapest, in Hungary, is CEO of the Linux Support Center in Budapest. You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Firstly, I would just join to the previous colleagues who just say the words against the patents. And I would just like to announce the president of Hungarian Linux User Association, Shari Gabor, who just will present lots of position statements from companies and schools and all other things from Hungary who just want to reject this whole software patent thing. And as I'm not a native English speaker, I just read a speech. So let me just read it, if you don't mind. So what came here is to represent the small and medium-sized companies from Hungary and from the software industry. And it's no matter how they are related to the open source or closed source business software, because one thing is certain, if these laws come into effect, come to force, they will all close. Because, why? So, because if there will be patent holders can just preclude the competitors from using the technologies, or so one player market can be realized, but or it doesn't occur. There are companies who have to pay so much money and make so large investments that will just naturally affect the price of software and related services, and this will obstruct the small ventures. And we can see the signs of these actions right now without the Patent Act. They use, just like Microsoft, they're using obscure software licenses. Maybe if you know, there's an emulator called Wine. But how many do you know that you are not legal to use Windows Explorer under Linux with the help of Wine? Because there is some tricks in the license that you can use it only on Windows. So, what are the other problems? The other problem is with the patents. There will be no newcomers in the market, and the competition will slowly end. And from this situation, the monopolies will arise. We've just seen this like in the 1900s and